So this is Jaime Guerra with UT, and I'd like to call to order the Gatton Technical Subcommittee meeting for May 19th, 2020. The time now is 1:31 PM. I'd like to call this meeting to order. Sarah or Frank, could you lead us through the roll call, please?
This is Sarah, and I'll do the roll call. Frank Ammons with Gatton.
Present.
Chris Gonzalez, BRICOM.
Present.
Dane Herbat, Travis County.
Present.
Carlos De Matos, Gatton.
Present.
Gary Westman, ACC.
Present.
Bruce Hermes, City of Austin.
Present.
John Cole Morgan, Austin ISD.
Present.
Harold Knoll, UT.
Present.
And Doug Wilson, JC Communications.
Present.
Okay, thank you.
Establish a quorum.
Agenda item number two, is there any citizen communication today? All right, I don't know how much of the public we have on. I think there's only one citizen on. Hearing no citizen communication. Let's go ahead and move on to agenda item number three. Let's take some time to review the minutes from the April 7th meeting, please.
Jaime, sounds like you've got some noisy citizens back there.
I do. You know, school's almost out, so they're feeling the summer excitement of staying at home some more.
Is that Steve that just joined the meeting?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Steve Powell just joined the meeting from DIR.
Steve, we're just reviewing the minutes. This is Jaime.
Okay, thanks.
This is Gary. Motion to approve the minutes as presented.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
This is Dane, second.
So we have a motion by Gary and a second by Dane to approve the minutes. Is there any discussion? Hearing none. Sarah, would you please take us through another roll call vote for approval?
Yes. Jaime Guerra, UT.
Aye.
John Cole Morgan, AISD.
Aye.
Steve Pyle, DIR.
Aye.
Bruce Hermes, City of Austin.
Aye.
The minutes are approved.
Thank you. Moving on the agenda, let's review the maintenance contractors update reports.
This is Chris Gonzalez with BRICOM. Since our last meeting, we've completed inspections of C2S and D1 NAN with 31 corrective deficiencies between the two rings. Please let me know if there's any question regarding the maintenance. If not, I'll move on to the inventory.
Chris, can you summarize the deficiencies corrected?
There are multiple deficiencies across the board. We've got a noted up high. There's pole transfers, there's make ready, there's tree trimming. It's a variety of deficiencies that get corrected by our inspectors.
What was the predominant two or three?
Typically pole transfers. Pole transfers have done that thing, yeah. There's a lot of new poles out there that have been installed by Austin Energy that we're transferring over to, and a lot of pending pole transfers as well.
All right, thank you.
Okay, Chris, I don't think, unless there's any more discussion, let's move on to the next, the inventory report.
As on the inventory, on May 11th, we used 850 feet off rail 704 for the B1S emergency repair at 7612 Bluff Springs Road. This is the large fire off Bluff Springs that melted the ring fiber, the aerial ring fiber. Okay, that was a change for the inventory. Any questions?
Okay, Chris, doesn't sound like we have any questions, so we'll move on in the agenda. Agenda item 5, Network Manager's Update, Gatton Project Status Report.
For this report, you'll see that there's two projects indicated in red, which are scheduled. They're coming up, being the Super Ring North A2N Conduit Relocation at Waller Creek Park, and then the Super Ring North D1M Tie CVS at Manor and Airport Relocation. You also note in red in the next section below on completed projects, the projects we have most recently completed. And then I'll call you back up to the Gatton Active projects. We've got an update on segment 2 for the A1N upgrade project. Austin Energy has put a hold on our application, the whole process for doing segment 2 right now. I'll do another comms already in the system, performing a project along the same route. So we're on hold on that one. Segment 1 has just been a mess, to say at least, to try and get it permitted with Austin Energy. There's going to be a lot of make-ready work, electrical make-ready work for segment 1. And we're looking into that. And then, you know, for all 4 segments as a whole, we'd hope to get this done by, you know, within this fiscal year. It's looking like we won't be able to. And it's due to Austin Energy permits. Now, while I do know segment 2, I understand that there's another there's a telecom company out there building along this route that's interfering with us to be able to proceed. For all 4 segments, I would have to say due to COVID-19 and the pandemic, it's been it's already a slow process that it takes place, a lot of work that goes into this. But with the pandemic taking place, it has been much slower process. It's just not as many resources available to us.
Frank, question. This is Dane. I probably already know the answer to this, but is there any chance to partner with the telecom company that's working in that area to slide our project in with them?
No, unwillingness from them, from Austin Energy. They won't allow that.
Again, this is Jaime. Do we think there's any opportunities with Austin Energy requiring the other comm to go first, that maybe after they go, our make ready cost will be less?
Well, fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Yep.
Okay. So it's not a known which way that would go?
No, it's not a known.
Okay. And then why do you think it's taking longer to get work done? When I feel like, you know, my sense of the city is that there's less people out on the road, so maybe that would make doing outside plant work a little easier to accomplish.
It seems like the right-of-way permits that we've applied for this, and Chris, you may want to speak to this from a Broadcom standpoint, because I know we've been discussing this back and forth for the past couple of months, especially. But the right-of-way permits, as well as Austin Energy permits, it seems like we're getting less and less, a longer response time to any of it. I don't know if they're backed up or if they have less resources available, or, you know, it's a new system that they're not used to having to do it remotely, or what's taking place. Chris, do you want to give me any
information? Yes, Chris is also Broadcom. What we're capturing on a lot of the segments, especially since these are downtown and these were kind of original build, one of the main issues we're coming against is there's multiple transitions along the route. But that being said, you know, we've got 2 attachments on one pole, and Austin Energy is looking for us to correct all the transitions along the routes.
I don't mean to interrupt, Chris, but what he means by transitions is that we change levels on the poles.
about 2.5 months ago, 3 months ago, they started taking vacations. And so a lot of the...
Chris. Can everyone hear me? This is Frank.
I can hear you, Frank. This is Jaime. I cannot hear Chris.
Yeah, I can't hear Chris.
Yeah, so the long skinny of it is, Chris, we can't hear you if you can hear us. And then the long skinny of it is, we're just having a lot of delays with this, the permitting process, as I mentioned previously. And yeah, some of it's, you know, to do to the physical nature of the projects, you know, it's always, you know, I've expressed this in the past, it's always boggled my mind how we're doing a retro. So we're taking out, you know, 114 and placing it in a 192. We're not doing a brand new project. We're not adding anything to the pole with the exception of the extra fibers that we have, you know, and our fiber capacity. And we're not actually, it's not a big weight difference. It's a very minimal outside diameter difference on the fiber itself. So I've always questioned, you know, if we're just replacing something or doing a retro, why it entails so much electrical make-ready work that we need to pay for and do. But that they look at every project as if it's a new project going to their poles, attaching to their poles, and we are actually performing. Any, you know, fiber companies out there or telecommunications companies or Gatton is actually performing full audits for them on their poles. That's what's taking place.
So any other projects we want to talk about on the status report or any more questions on A1 North? No more highlights, Frank?
No.
Okay. Just going to look at the entity specific ones to see if I had anything on there that. Nope. Okay. All right.
I'm sorry. This is Chris Gonzalez. They're working on our switches here and I got bumped off.
That's okay. Chris, we're wrapping up the project staff report unless you have anything that you wanted to add or you got cut off on.
Yeah, I'm not even sure what y'all caught on my conversation because I kept on talking after the fact. So I guess if there is any other specific questions, please let me know. I can address them.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Then if there's nothing else in the project status report, let's move to the job budget tracker.
This is Sarah. Since the last meeting, I've added the repairs at Menchaca and Bluff Springs. So we have 18 budget-affecting jobs totaling $674,000, or 91% of the FY20 MAC budget, leaving $64,000 remaining for additional projects.
So do we feel like we're going to expend our budget this year, or are we going to have a little left over? Looks like we're pretty close.
We're pretty close, but as Frank mentioned, the A1 North projects we're not sure if those are going to be completed.
Right.
Yeah, they're quite the game changer.
Yeah.
We have already paid for the fiber for those projects.
Okay. And the rest of the funds for labor and other material is not encumbered yet? So that's
It's encumbered. It's part of the $674,000.
I see. So that $674,000 is not quite actual cost.
It's actually what's been approved, but it's not what's been expended.
I see. Okay.
As you can see, we've been invoiced for $206,000 over on the invoice labor and cable, and we have $468,000 approximately that's encumbered.
Okay. All right. Any more questions on the job budget report? Hearing none, let's move on to agenda item 6, committee chairperson's update, 6A, Gatton technical guidelines update.
So this is Frank, and so we, at the last tech meeting, we discussed a project where we had noted in the field that tubes had been cut short inside of splice cases once upon a time. And, you know, this is over over 10 years ago that this took place at a minimum. And so what we were asked to do is to update the technical guidelines. So in your handout, you'll see a technical guidelines page. It's actually right above 2.7, making it section 2.6. We just did a red line edit for this. It can be worded however the tech committee deems necessary, but you'll notice the red line edit, and I'll call it out. It says, in all splice cases, no fiber tube shall be cut back without explicit permission from the Gatton network manager. And it, as you are all aware, these are the Gatton technical guidelines are basically Gatton standards. And this is what the our contractors have to follow, or everybody working on the Gatton network have to follow. So,
Frank, this is Dane. What had happened 10 years ago? Can you go over that again? I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was actually, I think, longer than 10 years ago. I know when I came into the picture, it stopped because I stopped it out in the field. But so apparently at one point there was a company working on, I think it was the COCOM era. And what they did is, what's apparent to me, what their practice was, they were cutting tubes back that weren't in use. So if there were unallocated fiber tubes on the Gatton network, they would cut those tubes back and keep them out of the splice case. Well, you know, we've grown a lot, and we have more fiber allocated now than ever before. And at no time should any tubes be cut back short. There may be specific certain requests by members to have this done, but as Gatton as a whole, it shouldn't be practiced. And so, yeah, that's what was taking place. And the only reason I
Frank, this is yes. Dane again. Sorry, for my education, if a tube is cut back and not put in the splice case, and then that tube, you want to use it later on, does that mean you have to replace a part of the cable?
Oh yeah, you're gonna have to pull back, cut, use the slack, which is 50 foot of slack with each splice case. You're gonna have to use that slack to recut the recut the cable.
So basically, let's Jaime. So basically, we're causing outages for other members to activate
for no reason.
Dark strands.
That's correct. For no reason. Yep.
And UT discovered this when we purchased strands on A2 North. We had some fiber that stopped in a splice case, and when we went to investigate, we discovered that we couldn't even splice those strands together. The whole thing had to be cut. And I think maybe Travis County just experienced that somewhere southwest Austin, or am I thinking of something else? I thought last tech meeting we talked about splicing on C2 South or C1 South.
Yeah, you're correct.
Okay. So I think that was the case in that situation as well. The dark strands were cut back too far.
Yeah, so we've been practicing in the field not doing this for years now. But, you know, to get it, which I think, Jaime, you were the one that brought it up last time. In the last meeting, we need it documented somewhere, preferably in our technical guidelines. So, hence why it's in front of you today.
All right. So, any sort of ideas on this language? Does everyone agree that we need it to be explicitly stated here? And if so, are we happy with the wording?
So this is Dane, and this may be lack of, you know, technical knowledge, but I would suggest describing what no fiber tube shall be cut back really means.
More clear as well. This is.
It just feels a little generic.
And this is Jaime. I was kind of having that same feeling that maybe we need to say that no fiber tubes shall be cut back so that they can't be used in the future without breaking all the splices, but how to word that more eloquently. I'm not sure.
I don't know. Yeah, go ahead, Gary.
Well, I was just going to say something around, you know, I haven't spliced fiber before, but something along the lines of leave enough unused slack and unused tubes to provide for later splicing if necessary. That's Gatton's policy, is to leave enough slack and unused unspliced buffer tubes to allow for future splicing, something like that. I'll leave that to you, to the professionals in that.
I this is Jaime. I agree. Maybe it's just as simple as adding a second sentence to this. Do we want to try to wordsmith this now, or do we just want to have network management work on it and bring it back to the next tech meeting?
Yeah, I'd just say have network management work on it with the vendors and bring it back to the next tech meeting. We can approve it then.
Okay.
I mean, I think everybody's on board with the gist of what's going on. We just need to wordsmith it.
Agreed.
Yeah, this is Dane. Frank, I totally understand what you're trying to do and trying to prevent here, and it makes a lot of sense. I'm 100% on board.
10-4 sounds good. We'll be sure to bring it back.
Okay. And while we're on, this is Jaime again. While we're on the topic of the technical guidelines, we had discussed at a recent meeting about the need to sort of document what our desired policy or outcome would be for splice case audits. Do we think that's something that we could put in the technical guideline? Like in a maintenance section, for example, GAT and shall, or maybe a should language, GAT and should audit splice cases every X years. I know I think it was the last tech meeting that we talked about that.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Now, would that go in our standards or would that be a policy?
I think that would be a policy more than a standard.
Do we have a policy for maintenance like that, or?
Not for the splice case audits. Splice case audit that we've done previously, you know, when we discussed it, we decided every 6 years, you know, subject to change at any point. But yeah, there's no policy that exists for it.
This is Dane. What about plant inspection in general? Do we have any kind of a policy for that?
Yeah, so we have our construction procedures. Maybe I have to take a look into those to fit a splice case policy into that.
But I think more than construction procedure, construction procedures, I think there should be possibly be a dedicated area for ongoing, similar to what the maintenance contractors do. Is that spelled out anywhere in our policies?
Yes, this is Sarah. Under Gatton policies and procedures, we have the Gatton maintenance policy and procedure.
And it should just be under there, I would think.
Yeah, that's where we have our inventory of 40,000 feet, and Gatton will contract for inspection for the physical plan at least every 6 months. We have some other things in there, and that would fit right in there.
Perfect.
You said the word, this is where Sarah said the word, inspection.
Hey, Bruce. Bruce, you're breaking up really bad. I don't know if you are for everybody else, but for me, this is Frank.
Yeah, I could not hear Bruce.
No.
Different here.
Okay, how about now?
Excellent.
That's better.
Okay, so Sarah mentioned a physical inspection of the physical plant at certain periods. And when we talk about splice case audits, that's exactly what we're talking about, is an inspection.
Yes, sir.
So this sounds good. I think for the agenda at the next tech meeting, we'll have this technical guideline with some different language. And then if network management can bring draft red lines to that inspection policy, that would be great.
Okay. Excellent.
All right, next agenda item, oops, lost my agenda, would be 6B, seeking recommendation for splice case audits for B1S and B2S.
This is Frank. In light of the conversation just held regarding inspection procedures for splice case audits, I don't think it would be wise to recommend this until that's brought to the next tech committee meeting, reviewed and approved.
This is Jaime. That sounds reasonable to me. How does the rest of the committee feel?
This is Bruce. I agree. I'm still on the tack that we need to redefine splice case audits.
Others feel the same?
No, this is Steve. I do too.
Okay. Well, then I'm not looking for any motions here. Then is there anything we wanted to discuss on B1? No, I guess not. We'll wait till we got it. All right. I don't believe I have anything for executive session. Does anyone know anything else? All right. Then agenda item 8. Well, before we adjourn.
This is Dane. I don't know if Frank, we don't have it in the agenda, but I don't know if there's any kind of an update on the claim against the tree company.
Yeah, so we, you know, we spoke to Sid about that in the last meeting, and I haven't had an update since.
Okay.
Hey guys, this is Gary. I was just wondering, have we begun our procedures against the, I guess it'd be the trash truck for the fire, or?
Yes, so we're creating that demand letter. Dane, I'll be in contact with you in regards to it. I'm in the process of formalizing it.
Okay.
All right. Any other items that we want to just mention real quick? I do want to mention a point of order. So the agenda today was pretty light, and we were able to tackle it in less than half an hour. Had we not been doing these remote meetings, I probably would have been inclined to cancel the meeting, but I feel that since we're not having to travel anywhere, it's probably not that big a deal for us to meet, even if it's just half an hour. Do you guys feel the same, or do you think we should consolidate more agenda items before having meetings?
I think I'm perfectly comfortable with this.
Okay.
This is Dane. Yeah, I agree. Fine. I'm good.
All right. I agree as well. Just wanted to make sure you guys felt the same. If it was at the CRA Service Center, I would probably, like I said, maybe postpone this one, but okay. All right, back to the agenda. Agenda item number 8 will confirm the date, time, and location for the next technical subcommittee meeting as June 16th, 2020, 1:30 p.m. via teleconference. This meeting is now adjourned at 1:58 p.m. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you all.